I'm Stan Lee, the Borough Chief of Police, City of Fairbanks.
Chief Zero, when did you first become aware that the rising waters would constitute some emergency situation or possible disaster?
That was on Saturday, August the 12th, at approximately 7 p.m. when I checked in here at the Civil Defense Headquarters, when the calls came in with rising water at Nenana.
Then what did you do with that?
As I had my wife and two children out at Nenana, I left here approximately 8 o'clock that evening to go to Nenana to pick up the wife and two kids. I was fortunate I got down there due to the muddy conditions of the road, and I arrived there at about 9:45, and just time enough to get across the bridge, which was still open. And I got back over the bridge just as they closed it at 10 p.m. And I was the last vehicle to leave Nenana prior to the flood. I arrived back in Fairbanks here about 12:30 a.m. on the 13th. And let's say that would have been Sunday, the 13th. And Sunday afternoon, I checked back in here at the CD headquarters to ascertain conditions as to high water. And that evening, as far as Fairbanks was concerned, water was coming up, but not any alarming rate. So I left here at approximately 9 o'clock the night of the 13th. And when I awoke next morning, well, I got a call from the station. That's right, about 6:30. They told me the river was up pretty high, so when I left home, I live in Grail, I took a ride down the riverbank, which is just about a block and a half from the house. And I noticed then that the river was just about over on the foot of Hamilton Street. And that's when I called in, just about 6:45. And our first entry on the log shows that 0700 hours on the 14th, all off-duty personnel were called into work. And all the officers remained on duty until, I believe, Saturday, whatever date that was, of August.
That would be the
19th, that they remained here at the station around the clock. I kept them here 24 hours a day. They just slept here for a few hours, went right back out to work. They were not relieved until actually Sunday, whatever date that was, the 20th. And then I knocked them down at 12 hours a day. But they were on duty from 7 o'clock Monday morning. And our log does indicate all the various calls ever received over that period of time.
On Monday morning, is this when Civil Defense started linking up with your people, or how
kind of arrangement? Civil Defense at that time, prior to the flood itself, Civil Defense headquarters in the basement of the public safety building here, and we were operating from downstairs. They were getting calls from various places. They had handsets, they had phones, and so forth and so on. And they stayed downstairs, I think, sometime early Tuesday morning. We had to evacuate everybody from downstairs due to the water coming into the building here. Then everybody was brought to the second floor of this building. All the operations.
In an emergency situation, does the police department assume extra powers?
Not extraordinary powers. But in any emergency, for example, like for building is burning and so forth, for the protection of it, we can seize that building for the time being. In other words, evacuate everybody. In this case, while people weren't, they were started evacuating on Monday night, but Tuesday is when we evacuated just about all the town. Some people did stay in the higher, like Northward building, a few other places. But Tuesday, just about everybody was evacuated. They had to.
What was the department doing Monday morning primarily, was it?
Primarily Monday morning was the fun, just checking all around town for damages, where water was coming up and so forth, what damage was being done to the roads, if any people were going underwater, or homes, or if any people did need evacuation. Which some of them did in the lower spots, were removed late Monday afternoon, especially the areas of, I believe it was somewhere around 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, just about all of Island Homes had water into it. So the Grail started getting water, and also Mammoth Makers, which were the first areas of town to go underwater.
Do you have any estimate of how many people you were evacuating?
Actually, we had no way known the exact amount, but there was, I'd say, 5,000 to 6,000 at least that we took out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we started getting boats. Well, some boats came in on late Monday afternoon to be used in Island Homes, Grail, and Hamilton Acres. We did get some transportation, military vehicles from the Army late Monday afternoon, because just about all of our cars went under or quick running Monday afternoon, around 6, 7 o'clock at night. They just got flooded out and just died right there.
do you need any specific authority for these, well, not extraordinary powers, but the powers to seize a building, to evacuate, or to order evacuation? Does this have to come from...
It has to be from a higher source than just the police department. We do it for the protection of the person himself in case of an emergency. But I believe it was sometime Monday afternoon that the governor did declare this a disaster area.
In a disaster area, who...
It's just civil defense, state civil defense. But they did not move in their offices and their whole operation until approximately Wednesday morning, sometime Wednesday noon.
This would have been General Isbell?
General Isbell. I believe they moved in 16th, I think, when they finally took over, before they were, you know, got their offices all going and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime,
it was
the police
up the police department for Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday morning was strictly local police.
Did you have any assistance from the state police at all?
Well, the state police had their hands full outside the city.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, a little while Monday, I think it was Monday, we did have some assistance before the water started rising outside the city limits. See, the first area around Fairbanks went under was Island Homes, Grail, and Hamilton Acres, which is all inside the city.
Right.
But then after that, the state police had their hands full.
You said that all officers were on duty during the whole week. How many police officers do you have?
I've authorized 31 uniformed officers, but I was 4 men short, so that puts it to 27 that I had on duty that day. 27 officers.
What, do you know if it was the fire department functioning at this time?
Well,
or?
Monday they were still functioning as a fire department. And Monday night sometime, I don't recall exactly when, because 1 hour ran into the other, they did move all the equipment out of the safety building and put it up at Gold Panther Service Station, which was out of water all during the flood. Because this building here had about 3.5 feet of water in it.
And where did you operate from?
For the first day, Monday, I was operating right out of my office and from civil defense downstairs. And Tuesday, we had to move to the second floor.
When did you start closing off streets and the
bridges? Well, it actually started early Monday morning. Actually, about 9 o'clock Monday morning, we start closing off various areas of town. depending on the water came up and it was roads were impassable, so we started closing them off. Then gradually it came the worst, and the whole town was restricted.
In closing an area off, do you enforce this rigidly, or is this fairly permissive?
It's a permissive type where we're just depending on the people, and by our radio announcements to stay out of that area. But naturally, there are people that don't heed any warnings of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Do these people congest the area to where it became a threat to emergency vehicles and emergency procedures?
It did once the boats start operating, like on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We had a lot of trouble with sightseers and boats not doing anything but just riding around interfering with rescue operations, quite a bit of it. And what we were doing was just, if we could catch them, we were just confiscating their boats.
I remember I was sandbagging at the hospital Monday night, and there seemed to be a tremendous amount of people trying to get back and forth across Cushman Bridge.
We finally closed the Cushman Street Bridge. I forget what time it was. Closed emergency traffic, but only two of them had emergency traffic somewhere. Monday night sometime. Somewhere around 9 o'clock Monday night when we closed the Cushing Street Bridge. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a little before now. I think it might have been even earlier than that. 7 o'clock, I think. Because it was still kind of daylight at that time when we closed it. I know that the Public Works had their big rigs out there trying to take out the logs and so forth, and they called for light, but we had closed the bridge just prior to that.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And that we allowed it holding to emergency traffic.
And the bridge the bridge itself stayed above water all the time, did it?
Not all the time. It went underwater, I think, on Wednesday. Water was over the bridge, on the Cushman Street Bridge, not the Wendell Street Bridge. Cushman Street did have water over it.
When did your officers first get where did they get the boats, and when did they start using them?
Actually, the people volunteered the boats without a request from us. Then gradually more and more of them just came in.
Awesome.
There at the height on Tuesday, we were asking for any boats available, but they people came in of their own accord on Monday.
I see.
And you used them mainly for
rescue
operations?
That's all we used the boats then on there. And the water started receding Wednesday or Thursday. We were using for patrol purposes. There was nobody left in the home, so we had a patrol there. But we did use them for patrol purposes when the water started going up.
In any major disaster, there's always the question of when everyone leaves the town, there's always the question of looting and vandalism and the like. Did you find much of it in Fairfax?
Actually, as far as even reported to our office, very little, considering the mass evacuation we had. It's no doubt we had some, but considering that we had very little looting inside the city proper, because we did have the National Guard with us, what they do about it. 16th or 17th, I'm not sure. They were here for about a week. But we had quite a few patrols out, so there was, as far as we know, there was very little looting in the city proper.
Was there any other problem with crime or law enforcement? Any particular problem involving people?
We did have, especially with the drunks. We had no place to put them because our jail went underwater. And we did have a problem getting placed in the state jail. That was corrected, I believe, on Friday. But for the first few days, the drunks just went about their merry way.
Mm-hmm. When were the bars closed in Fairbanks?
Well, when everyone went underwater, so they were closed Tuesday and until the following Tuesday, I think I asked them to stay closed. And I believe they start opening up on about the 21st or 22nd before they open. They were closed for about a week. But liquor stores were open outside of town, wherever they're high, so people did get their liquor.
Mm-hmm. This constitute a major problem where you had officers involved in this that could have been used?
Well, it wasn't a major problem. There was a few. Most of the people had too much to do instead of drinking. It's just the habituals which you have no problem with.
Did you supervise or enforce law in any of the refugee centers, like the schools, or were these?
We had a man stationed at all the schools, and he had a portable two-way radio with direct communication with us.
Was this a uniformed officer?
Uniformed officer. In every one of the centers. We didn't have a state police, I believe, had their own up at the U of A. We had them in Denali, Lathrop, in Maine, in Barnett, with direct communications. See, we lost all of our radio communications on early Tuesday morning. We had to rely on a Bureau of Land Management's portable radios for all our communications.
That's one, seemed to be one major problem, communications and the coordination of effort. Were you involved in attempting to coordinate efforts with, say, CD? And
correct. When we moved upstairs for our operation, we were called control. So everything came through here, through all, we were control center. Communications as far as emergency type. Now, civil defense did have their own, but they were receiving their own messages. As far as any rescue type of work, we were doing it all through our control center upstairs.
Does civil defense ever have any civilian patrolmen? I mean, this type of thing that they utilize?
Not a one. We don't even have what we call auxiliary police, which is comes under civil defense. We don't have any as yet. It is contemplated getting some eventually in the future, but at the present time, we don't have any auxiliary police. See, after the guard left on the 21st, I believe it was the 21st, we replaced the guard with about 50 security guards. And then we had them patrolling various residential areas, business areas. We did not have the manpower. My men needed to rest anyway.
Well, these were temporary?
Temporary guards that we hired, called security guards, to replace the National Guardsmen.
And they seemed to be effective?
Well, they did. See, they patrolled mainly the residential areas where once the water would start receding, the people had to come back in and do something about their property. A lot of them just put it outside to dry. So all their property laid out there for a week, depending where, so the people could sort out what they were going to throw away, what they were going to save, and so forth. And that's when the security guards came in mighty handy.
Who was supervising operations of the National Guard and the regular?
Well, they commanded directly under General Isbell, but there was, I don't know how many captains there were with the National Guard. For that week that they were here, they were staying over here at the J.C. Penney building, I think 5 days. Then they moved out to, they were going to go out to Army, but I understand they went out to the U of A. But they were quartered right over here in the J.C. Penney building.
I see.
In fact, the J.C. Penney roof was used as a heliport. They have the big Army helicopters. They must have made over 100 landings on top of that roof.
Was the regular Army also under the command of General Isbell?
No, the regular Army did not participate here. They had their own headaches on our post. Mm-hmm. We only had National Guardsmen.
Did the regular Army supply vehicles of armored carriers?
We did get, our vehicles were obtained from the regular Army. Military vehicles that I had were obtained for the regular Army up here at Wainwright.
Mm-hmm. Did they send a person with them, or?
Correct, they sent a driver.
I see. Did you use the facilities of the Army Air Force helicopters at all in law enforcement?
No, we did not. I only had two occasions to use a helicopter. And that was the one that the mayor was using.
That was Wayne's, Mayor Wayne's?
No, it was one, it came up from Anchorage. I don't know how the mayor obtained it, but I had two occasions to use that thing to fly over the city.
I see.
But it would have been ideal to have a helicopter earlier during the immediate, you know, as soon as the flood took place. Because I found out once I did get it, there's a lot of things you can see with a helicopter that you can't see traveling around on a car or on a boat.
Right. How bad did the flood seem to you late Monday night? Were you particularly alarmed, or?
Well, the water started coming up mighty fast starting at about 9 o'clock Monday night, because I had to evacuate my own family. About 9:30, and I know when I got to the house, I live in Grail, and I happened to get a 5-ton army vehicle. There was no boats available, and we got across there. When I got out in front of the house, I stepped out, and I couldn't even step on the ground. It was going over my hip boots. So I had the army truck just go right through my fence and back up to my front door. And we had about a foot to go. This is 9:30 at night. About a foot to go to get on my main floor. My 20-year-old son stayed at the house. He didn't want to go with us, so he said he'd stay at the house. I left him there. 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke up with water lapping in the bed. I had about 2 feet of water on my floor. That's how fast it came. See, during the Monday night, it was just next to impossible. It was dark, and there was no way possible really to get a reading off that Wendell Street Bridge from the gauge, because the current was so swift, we couldn't have boats. You dare not try to get across that river in a boat. And one of the bad features for about Wednesday, well, Monday, Tuesday, and part of Wednesday, Thursday, that river was mighty swift, and no small boat, so-called pleasure boat, dare try to cross it. Only thing that could be used to cross from north to south or south to north is a riverboat or an airboat. You couldn't cross in just a small pleasure boat. That current would have whipped them around like a cork. That was one of our problems, you know, trying to get across that river. Because the city is on both sides.
What was the police department doing? What was most of its operations consisting of, say, Tuesday and Wednesday? Was this still emergency?
Still a lot of evacuations and a lot of medical. I never knew so many people got sick so fast. Normally it's just a call, but we were evacuating sick people by boat, by helicopter, by army truck, or be what it may. And what we have to be thankful for the military, boy, they put those helicopters down in the dark and everything else. And one night they landed right on Wendell Street, I mean on Christmas Street Bridge, they evacuated them. We got the patient up there with a boat. I think it was Monday night, I believe it was, that St. Joseph's was evacuated. Monday night. And all medical had to be taken over to Bassett out at Wainwright. And there was a lot of cries for food and medical, and how many people are various type heart medicines or insulin and this, that, and the other, and we were just chasing all over town trying to locate them.
You did all of that?
All of that, correct. Well, all of that.
Where were you getting most of the medical supplies?
Well, where were we could find them. St. Joe's had it quite a bit, but then we were just calling each school. There might have been a doctor handy, or we had the health center, and they did fly in a bunch of stuff from outside or from Anchorage, I don't know where it came from. But we'd get medical people, and they'd get us insulin or be what it may, and we'd run it to work, go to which school and so forth.
You said that most of the boats and motors were loaned to you. How did you get the gasoline? Was this flown in by civil defense?
No, we got the gasoline. Some came from BLM. We got, I don't know how many thousands of gallons from Standard Oil. All in case lots. We had so-called gas piled at various locations around town in 5-gallon cans for the boats to use, and plus motor, fuel oil motor for the boats. Mm-hmm. But we had our biggest gas cache was right up here at Gold Panther Service. But BLM did give us quite a bit of gas.
You mentioned Standard Oil and the gas. What are the other private companies that cooperate or assist in the, during the disaster?
Well, as far as us, it was the Standard Oil. See, the fire department made arrangements for that to get the gas, but they were parked up here at Gold Panther. That happened to be a Standard station. So Standard Oil, they bought over all the case lots. Because the only way you could take it from place to place, you couldn't lug 50-gallon barrels. You know? So you're taking the case lots, which a person can carry 10 gallons of gas in. Mm-hmm. We had gas cash out at Tri-Corners, which is over Minnie and Stees. Or just past the College Road at Tri-Corners. There was a cache there, there was a cache out in the west end of town. We had one here at the BLM. They brought in a pickup loaded with gas cans and it stalled out right here in front of the state buildings right up on the sidewalks. We had a cache right there. But the fortunate thing of the whole flood, that we only lost one died of a heart attack, the woman. We had three drownings. Three. Mm-hmm. In town. I'm only speaking of in town. Three drownings and one heart attack.
Were there any instances of violent crime during the flood?
No. Well, there was a lot of people waving guns around trying to protect their property, but nothing where anybody was injured. Two of the officers were shot at nighttime. We don't know where the shots came from. So they came in the dark.
Any incidents of trouble with drugs?
Not that is known, no. Now, there was reports the doctor's clinic, whatever name of that pharmacy is down there on 400 block on 4th. The window was smashed out. There were reports of people going in there, but we never did catch anybody.
When did you set up the system for authorizing people to travel in the city on boat or foot or...
That was actually, some of it was even Monday night, late Monday night or early Tuesday morning. But it got to the point that it was hard to try to control for the simple reason that so many people, they had to come in here to get their pass in the first place. So they had to come down into the restricted area. And there were some many people that try to get back here to see what so happens there. Our business area is down in the core area. And they were coming in from all sides. Say, for example, they were out at Farmer's Loop or out on the Steese Highway. They had to come clean across town through all that to get come here and get a pass. So we only used the pass system about 2 days.
It would have been very difficult for these people to get across the river.
They come in and get passes.
Mm-hmm.
Our town is situated so we are unique. You know, we got the river right in between us. It's a little hard to. We don't only have one police station.
When did you start getting back to normal, what we might call normal operations?
We didn't get back to normal operations for 2 weeks before I went down to regular 8-hour shifts. It was 3 weeks before I started giving men the regular days off.
This is mainly due to the need for increased patrol?
Right. Protect your patrolling and... But they weren't given a day off for 3 weeks.
When did you start getting the You said all the police cars were knocked out. When did they start getting operative? Around Friday?
No, we didn't get our cars operating for... they went underwater Monday night. It was a good week before he come back operative. Because we were using military vehicles. I don't think we got our vehicles operating until somewhere around the week of the 20th. Or 21st, right?
But between the time the flood subsided and that, and then you were using military vehicles for patrol and this type of
thing? And various vehicles, private vehicles. In fact, the first week from the 14th to through that Saturday, well, the first 14th and 15th, my men were still in uniform. Starting on the 15th, their uniforms were so muddy and dirty hours. We just got them a bunch of clothes and pennies. And the only thing that indicated that they were police officers was their badges. Because they had no uniforms. They all were so, a lot of officers lost their uniforms in their lockers because their lockers are downstairs. If they had them at home, they're underwater. So after the first 2 days, they were, very few officers were in uniform until about the end of that week.
Think you ran into any more trouble because of that?
We did. You know, a lot of people claim that the patrols weren't out. They were there, but they were using private cars. And once we got in, well, then the National Guard helped out in that they did have uniforms. And then once we started using the, well, we went into our uniforms on the 20th, I think. I mean, the officers started getting their uniforms cleaned up, whatever they had. Then on the 21st, we had few security guards. The 22nd, when they actually started, and all the security guards used our riot type helmets, the white helmets. So even though it was seeing a white helmet, people realized there was some protection being given. Prior to that, there were people saying they wouldn't be protected. They were, but you just couldn't tell.
Something like Mark Hunt's putting too much chlorine in the water, just so people would know they're protected. And that seems to be the biggest trouble.
It's a visual impression that people get when out there's police.
Mm-hmm.
If they see a uniform, they know they're out there, but they just see swimming clothes, they don't realize that it's an officer.
You mentioned you had officers in each of the schools or in the refugee centers. They report anything unusual, few hundred people all gathered?
No, but it's surprising. We didn't have much of that type of reports at all. Most of those reports were for aid of some type, either get more clothing, more blankets, more diapers, more milk, or emergency medical, and so forth and so on. I understand now that I probably have talked to somebody else in charge of each school. They did set up their own system, and each school somebody was put in charge. And the only thing my officer was doing is emergency, because there were no phones.
Mm-hmm.
That was emergency communications only. We did not participate in the running of the evacuation centers. They set up their own, each school set up its own.
So government. You're just there as communications
and emergencies of any kind.
And the usual law enforcement.
Right. But there was very little trouble in the schools, as far as I know.
One thing, the idea that the uniqueness of the disaster would keep any kind of personal trouble down, say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I wondered if you would recognize any difference in that by Thursday or Friday.
Well, people were getting a little, not cat fever exactly, but they were being cooped, and they were getting a little boisterous and so forth, but considering even that, as far as I know, there was no major problems in any of these evacuation centers. The University of Alaska was a little different than the rest because they had the whole hillside to wander in, but you get Hunter School, Main School, Lathrop, and all in all these areas had very, very little area to go, except right in the building.
Yeah, I was up at Denali on the 23rd and there were still a lot of people.
I don't know when they finally cleaned out the schools, but I know Barnett School, see, they evacuated all the people from Nenana there prior to the flood here. They were brought up, I believe, on Sunday.
Sunday and Monday morning when you were brought up. It was the 13th and 14th.
Almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they were there for some time after the local people left there. And they were there a good 2 weeks, if not longer, some of them.
Did the Red Cross and Salvation Army and other relief agencies work through civil defense primarily?
I think Red Cross, one thing I can't say how they operated for the simple reason that once the state civil defense came in, they put their offices, again, up in the ACS building. We operated out of this building. We did have a man up there with communication with a two-way radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only communication we had with the civil defense.
They're not primarily involved in law enforcement at all, then?
No. But I can't thank the Bureau of Land Management enough, though, and come across with our communications. If it wasn't for them, I know we'd have been dead ducks. We wouldn't have no communication whatsoever, because all of ours was wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of ours.
It was the BLM that supplied the radios.
Right. We lost every bit of our communication.
How long was it till you got your headquarters radio back?
It's surprising that once the so-called disaster crews moved in, OEP and those, we had our radio gear in, and I think about 10 days, well, that's what I said, during that first month went by like, I think it was sometime in, towards the latter part of August, we had all of our communications in ready. All the cars had new radios, we had new transmitters, everything else here. They flew in everything.
Speaking of physical damage, how badly did the police department suffer with, say, cars, radios?
Well, we're still operating the car, but we lost 9 cars. Lost all of our communications. Our cars are going to have to be replaced. They all went underwater.
Does OEP take care of any of this?
Yes, OEP is taking care of, Corps of Engineers, somebody from that federal is going to replace that. So we did lose quite a few records, not an appreciable amount, but we did lose a bunch of records.
Mm-hmm.
We lost everything down in the basement, everything. Nothing was saved. See, we tried to save that, prevent water from coming. We were sandbagging this building. But on Tuesday morning, we had to let water back into the basement because the danger of losing the basement. Static pressure would cave in the walls, and we had to let water into the basement. So we lost everything on there. Absolutely nothing was saved.
Hmm.
And that amount probably staggering, too.
There's a lot of that irreplaceable.
Oh, it's records.
This is probably an obvious question, but the city doesn't have any kind of a records management program, do they?
Not as yet. They've been working on it for years, but I have microfilm police records, so I have lost too much. We did lose some city. All of our records are on microfilm. We did quite a bit of our microfilm did go underwater, but the Kodak people came up here. I mean, it was in Portland or someplace. And we did what we had on the water. We just put in 5-gallon milk cans in water and shipped it outside. And it's just as good as me.
Right.
They processed and came back. But I've been fortunate that most of ours are on microphone. So what we lost was those that were just every year we try to microphone what's gone past here.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have much left on there to be microphone. Even upstairs, what we call microfilm jackets, individual criminal records, as long as we don't take that film out of that so-called heavy jacket that it's in, it won't do any damage. But if we try to pull it out of there, it could just pull it apart.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we leave it in the jacket.
You're saying that you had security police and some National Guard law enforcement? Well, it was security police at least. later in the week.
Security guards.
Security guard, right. Not security police. Did they seem to have any trouble not being quite trained in police work? Or
the main place we had trouble downtown, we didn't have so much, you know, or in the residential areas, because apparently just the sight of them walking along prevented people or gave people a different, they didn't think twice of doing anything. Well, we did have troubles out the dump, and once they start taking all the debris out there, where people were taking out as fast as coming in. So we had good guards that absolutely left and came off that dump once it went in there.
I see.
And we had to maintain guards until the 12th of this month out the dump.
This is for health reasons,
right? That's right. But a lot of that stuff was thrown out there because it was winter. I mean, there was no rain. But these scavengers are going out there and making packages as fast as we go out there. So there was a problem out there for a while, especially when the was it the alcohol tax boys were up here condemned all this liquor. Boy, they were coming back under car seats and truck seats and everything else. That liquor. So it was a problem. That's about the only problem we had for a while. Not the dump.
And they handle themselves pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Do you anticipate any problems in police work for law enforcement in the next few months caused by flood problems at all?
None that I can think of at the present time. The only problem we have now is trying to get back into what we call normal operation, meaning this building is still got going through its revamping and refurbishing and what have you. There'll probably be another 2-3 weeks before we're back to normal operation.
I presume that your staff suffered as severely as just about everybody else. Did you have any special problems staff-wise? People, did any staff members pull out, or with the families leaving and they followed them outside?
No, that's why I'd say one thing about the officers. The first week, I had no problem whatsoever with the officers. They all stayed on duty. Every one of them I did along to check on their families, and but they came right back to work. They made sure that their family was safe, but they, that first week they spent right here sleeping on the floor and where have you. Because I knew Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, I finally had to evacuate this building. But during Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday and Tuesday night, and Wednesday morning early, this building, you think you're on a battleship. You're walking and it was floating. We had about a total of anywhere between 400 and 500 evacuees. They were sleeping all over. You'd step on each other up there. But finally, we had to get them out of this building. See, the truck room floor was a boat dock. Boats were pulling in one door and going out the other side. They were coming in from the 5th Avenue side and going out the 7th Avenue side. But then until we could find a place where we could take them, we kept them here and feeding them here. This was a madhouse here at first for about 36 hours.
Where'd you get the stuff to feed them with? Right from?
I can't, truthfully, I can't tell you where it comes from. But we had enough food stuff brought in here. We had stove going on 24 hours around the clock upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was up there cooking, continuing.
Is there any way that, that you know of to prepare the force better for an emergency of this kind again?
Well, anytime you go to any emergency, you always learn. You always learn.
Like Mark Hunt was saying that if they had known, you know, that the next time they would be a little better prepared. Is there anything that you particularly remember that you do a little bit differently?
Well, one thing
time?
We found out, being is now everybody's stating that they lost this, lost that, and that they gave it for use during the emergency. But we found out from the next time anything occurs, before anybody gets anything, he's going to have authorization to get it. Then it can be reimbursed somehow. But people come in here and say, well, the police took this, or civil defense took this. Every John Doe was saying he was police or civil defense, and nobody questioned him. We're starting to come in here with bills by the $1,000. Oh boy, oh boy.
There's nothing like a chit or anything else.
See, that's what I could say. One thing you learn, everything, any emergency, I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
people have second thoughts on their generosity.
Mm-hmm. See, with the, once it happened, everybody just willingly gave it their time and everything else. Then after, what about reimbursement? See, at that time, there's no thought to reimbursement. But it's after, when things start cooling down, you think, well, look at all the money I lost here. Which, on the one hand, I don't blame the people, but on the other hand, again, at least to get somebody's signature down on something.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, one thing we learned, there's going to be authorization to pick up anything from now on. Even the forms lady collecting dust for years, they'll be available.
Right. What, then, mostly your people borrowed gasoline?
Didn't borrow, that's all being paid for.
Well, the line is, you know, borrowed on a short-term basis until they could be paid for gasoline, boats, motors, and this type of
thing. That's what one of the reasons they're going to, well, we don't know who's going to pay yet on this boat loss. Because, boy, there were a lot of boats damaged. Ooh, boy. Bottoms ripped out of them and what have you. Because, especially in the downtown area, you know, there was a lot of cars that were submerged. You didn't even see them. And the boats going over and everything else. And hitting our parking meters. That one incident, I heard on the radio, this guy screaming for a helicopter. He says he hit a parking meter, ripped out the bottom of his boat. He wanted a helicopter to get him over in the Safeway parking lot. Next thing I knew, I was upstairs, and I see him coming around the corner of MUS building. Boy, that thing was getting lower and lower. He got across the lot, and just as he got in front of the door out here, the thing sank, and boy, those people just got through the doorway and died. Oh, jeez. And there was, I don't know, two or three kids in there and two women. I don't know how many adults. You know, and that water on Fifth Avenue, that was regular river. Yeah, it was swift current there.
What's the deepest side of the town on this side of the river? Is it around Fifth Avenue?
Well,
or?
Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, Fifth is the worst. That's Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh were the deepest water. See, there's where it's coming around the bend up here. Instead of going around the bend, it comes straight across, right by the old cemetery. See, there's where it comes across Rabbit Island. See, it comes along that one bend. In fact, that's the reason why Island Homes went underwater. There's a bend just above Island Homes. And coming down East Bentley Drive, the water came across there. Once it came across the river, went right across Rabbit Island into Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to follow a direct line, there's no question of that. So.
I've heard that Fifth and Sixth is kind of an old slough bed anyway.
It was, originally apparently it was. And boy, that was a lot of water in there. Lots of it.
That's one thing I've heard over and over again, and people were surprised at the speed of the water.
It came up Monday night. It was a gradual rise, you know, by 2 inches and so forth. But that rise from 9:30 to 3 o'clock, 9:30 Monday night at 3 o'clock Tuesday morning, it was tremendous.
How were your people able to get or evacuate or tell people to evacuate, say, in the Hamblin area, in Hamblin Acres?
Well, what I forget what day it was. I said what days ran into each other.
I think
and
late must, Monday night, early Tuesday morning.
But, well, people themselves saw it was time to evacuate. Then Thursday morning, we went house to house. Thursday morning. All over town, house to house.
But I guess there weren't too many people left.
No, not too many, but there's quite a few people stayed with their homes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to be evacuated, but once they started getting hungry on Friday and Saturday, they didn't want to be evacuated because we couldn't bring them food individually.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing we were able to do was get food to groups of people, but individually we couldn't get to them.
Well, most of the city was passed about what, about Friday or Saturday with a, say, a truck?
Oh, a good sized truck, yes, by Saturday. Friday, not so much. Even, I think it was on Sunday or Monday. I can't recall when I went and got my family. But Saturday there was still a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of water. You could get through with a good sized truck, but
See, the river, once it started dropping, it didn't go down very fast. Anyway, it was going down, but not, you know, just...
Not the way it came up.
No.
Do you anticipate any difficulties with a spring runoff? Like,
Nobody knows. I've been up here now since 1943, and any spring, you never know what the next one's going to be. It all depends what happens in the winter. Mm-hmm. Depends on the amount of snow, and depends how cold it gets before the snow comes. If the snow comes early and the ground is just starting to freeze, probably won't be so bad. But if we don't get any snow, we get cold, and that frost is going to go right down that ground. No, there's no two springs alike. Look how nice breakup we had this spring. Nobody knew what took place. Because, see, last summer was a dry summer and the ground didn't hardly freeze.
Situation-wise, would you say that the police department is pretty well recovered from the disaster now?
With the exception of being operating under our off, the patrol sections are right. I mean, operating under conditions that we are in the building here. It's not our normal procedure to operate up the front like we are. Mm-hmm. That's what they're just moving upstairs now, our new communication gear in the alarm room, which I don't know when that's supposed to be ready, somewhere on the 15th of October, I think. So we still have another 3 weeks to go.
Do you have a switchboard in yet? Or?
We only have two phones in there at the present time. And they're direct lines. And, and that's communication in this building probably another 3 weeks. Oh, and that's hurting us. That's hurting us. And not only us, it's hurting the public too. But the only communication we have, really, is they want to come in person. And you know, people don't like to come in person to a police station. They'll call, they don't like to come in person. Yeah, we're handicapped in a lot of respects here.
Then OEP or the Corps is still aiding you in some degree with...
Oh yes, to our recovery, I mean to replacing what we lost. It's all in the stages of red tape now.
Do they give you any time for anticipated delivery of police vehicles at all?
Well, I understand the police vehicles are around.
Anything
left in Seattle Monday or Tuesday, they figure a delivery date here about the 6th of October.
They obviously must not be Fords.
No, they're not Fords. I'm not sure what they are, but my understanding is they're going to be vehicles that have been used as demonstrators. I think now it is that the older vehicle, F-85s, been used as demonstrators, might have 3,000-4,000 miles on them, which is all right.
Sure.
We'll see when they get here. All of our vehicles that we lost were Chevys, every one of them.
Well, then these will have to be outfitted for police work?
Well, we'll just take the radios out of our present cars and the red lights and the sirens. Just take everything out and replace the others.
Then OETP takes care of disposal of the present vehicles?
I imagine. I don't know what the disposition is, our vehicles will be. Because sad shape when we got them. We got them out, with the exception of one vehicle. We got them out here to the lot we had here, and then there's where they went. By hook or crook, they came in here and then we parked us.
I think we've covered it very well.